This is The Takeaway. I'm Ray Suarez. Thanks so much for listening. 16 years ago this October, then-President George W. Bush announced the start of the U.S. war in Afghanistan.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes against al-Qaeda terrorist training camps and military installations of the Taliban regime in Afghanistan.
What began with 1,300 ground troops at the start of the war in 2001 grew to more than 100,000 by August 2010. President Obama vowed to reduce the number of personnel at a steady pace while handing over security control fully to the Afghans. Under his administration, the number of troops remaining in Afghanistan fell to under 10,000. But Obama ultimately halted his plan to completely withdraw, calling the situation too fragile.
The bottom line is, in key areas of the country, the security situation is still very fragile. And in some places, there's risk of deterioration.
As a private citizen, Donald Trump repeatedly called for a full withdrawal from Afghanistan. In November 2013, he took to Twitter to say, "We've wasted an enormous amount of blood and treasure in Afghanistan. Their government has zero appreciation. Let's get out." As a presidential candidate, he was more cautious, saying he would leave troops in place, but only begrudgingly. However, for his supporters, many of them believed he would not engage America in any more foreign conflicts. Instead, focus on America first, the promise he repeatedly made.
My original instinct was to pull out. And historically, I like following my instincts.
Then last night, President Trump seemed to reverse course one more time.
But all my life, I've heard that decisions are much different when you sit behind the desk in the Oval Office. In other words, when you're president of the United States.
In a nationally televised address, the president said America would stay committed to the mission in Afghanistan, but the focus would change.
We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists.
Trump said the United States would be sending more troops to continue to train Afghan forces, but he wouldn't say how many or for how long they would remain in the country. He also said he would ramp up pressure on Pakistan to crack down on terrorist activity and safe havens within its borders. Here to weigh in is General Dan Bolger. He led the training of Afghan forces from 2011 to 2013 and is the author of Why We Lost, A General's Inside Account of the Iraq and Afghanistan Wars. Also joining me, Carlotta Gall, senior foreign correspondent for The New York Times and author of The Wrong Enemy, which detailed the inner workings of the tension between America and Pakistan. Welcome to you both. Let's start at the very beginning with the president's outlining a new approach to the mission in Afghanistan last night. Carlotta Gall?
I saw a new element that I haven't seen before, very, very strong on Pakistan. He's asking for change immediately. He doesn't say what he's going to do, but that's the strongest I've seen coming out of any U.S. administration. And I think the way he's come to view this problem in Afghanistan, I think he's got that very straight, that the Pakistan side has to change. The rest, of course, was something a bit more of what we've had. You know, a few more troops, which the generals there have been asking for some time, and more tools and rules of engagement. That's seesawed over the years. So that was expected. And then India helping, they have been helping, and strategically, and so perhaps that'll increase, but much of the rest was the same. I thought the Pakistani element was very interesting, and I think we'll see a real shift there.
General Bolger, what did you make of it?
This is very similar to sort of where we ended the Obama administration. A few more troops, as Carlotta mentioned, the generals there need those to help with the advise and assist mission with the Afghan forces. But in many ways, the military thing is the same. I also heard the president mention fighting to win and victory, but I'd sure like to see his definition of that, because there's not one that occurs to me.
It is a glaring part of the address that he did not define victory, even though he talked about attitude a lot, sort of the idea of America in Afghanistan. what winning would look like was short on details like much of the rest of the speech, no?
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. And I think the one thing he emphasized was going after terrorists and their networks. If that's the case, then you're just talking about a very long-term, open-ended effort, because that's endemic to that region. And frankly, we should all remember that on 9/11, nobody from the Taliban attacked the United States. They were merely the hosts for the al-Qaeda cell that made the attack on 9/11.
Carlotta Gall, there was some attention paid to denigrating nation building as part of the American mission. Why was that important for the president to hit so hard last night?
Well, I think that's something he's definitely spoken of a lot. And in fact, all Republicans have been wary of that for a long time. So I think that was somewhere where he could be very clear on. But I also thought, the Afghans would have liked what he said as well, because he said they'll be allowed to run their own country, their own way, there'll be no interference. And that, what I thought, was very wise, because that will go down well among Afghans, but also it takes away the ground from the Taliban, because the Taliban have always said, you know, the foreigners, the infidels are here to take away our Muslim country. And in fact, he was undermining that claim. So I thought that was clever. And I think the putting benchmarks on the Afghans to perform on their own side also is very sensible, because we've seen how money has hemorrhaged before.
General, over the very long course of the Afghan war, I've had military and civilian officials explain to me why a two-pronged strategy was so crucial, both prosecuting the military side of any mission in Afghanistan, but also leaving behind institutions that would help a new Afghan politics fend off the Taliban. As the United States really made a big change by saying, look, we're not going to do that anymore. We're fighting a war. We're not going to be involved in building schools or setting up small industries or agricultural businesses.
Yeah, I think we're at a point now where we've decided to focus on the counter-terrorist aspect. And as the president did say, leaving it to the Afghans to determine how they want to run their country, what policies they want, if they want to build a school or dig a well. Every time we did those things, although it might be appreciated by the people in the local villages, it did underscore that the Afghan government in Kabul was incompetent to do the task. They had foreigners doing it for them. Now they're going to do it their own way. I'm sure we will still assist them with some expertise and no doubt some amount of funds. But it's their fight to win in terms of their own institutions. Our national interest is, of course, preventing the reestablishment of a terrorist safe haven there.
General, before he was even a politician, the president was talking about, even demanding, that we get out of Afghanistan. Does even this small increase in the American commitment signal that he's been prevailed upon by civilian and military people in his government, that we can't get out, that we may be there for some time to come?
Well, I think it just shows that President Donald Trump, like his predecessors, has, and he said it in his speech, he said, I came in with the belief that we needed to get out. But now that I'm here in the Oval Office, now that I have this responsibility, I'm seeing it differently. We've heard that from so many people who've been president. It always looks different on the campaign trail than from when you're at that office, where, as Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. And now that buck has stopped at Trump's desk. And I think that's one of the reasons he took a broader view and a more long-term view of the situation there.
Carlotta Gall, do you see the United States and NATO getting out of Afghanistan in the near term or the medium term?
No, I don't. I think it's going to be a very long commitment. You know, I was in Kosovo also last year, and we've still got troops there since the war in 99. So, and everyone's forgotten about it because it's so peaceful, but you still need the troops there. So I think we'll have them for a very long time in Afghanistan. But the good thing is the casualties, certainly on the American side, are much, much lower. The Afghan side is still very high, so they need help. And I think it is a long-term geopolitical need to be there. I was also there, and I saw this summer Iran starting to meddle in Afghanistan because of the vacuum that they see coming. So you'll get worse violence if you draw down quickly. And so I think President Trump is reacting to that, and I think he'll have to keep the troops there for really quite a while still yet.
Carlotta Gall is senior foreign correspondent for The New York Times. General Dan Bolger led the training of Afghan forces from 2011 to 2013. Good to talk to you both. Thanks.
Thanks.
Following President Trump's foreign policy announcement last night, we reached out to several veterans of the Afghanistan war for their thoughts on the president's decision. Here's what they told us.
My name is Kristen Rouse. I served with the United States Army in Afghanistan in 2006. I also served in 2010 during the surge in Afghanistan, and I was also in Afghanistan in 2012 for the end of the surge. I appreciate that President Trump says that he wants our military to win in Afghanistan. That's something that a lot of us very much want to hear. But in listening to the full speech, it just is not clear what is fundamentally different from President Obama or President Bush before him.
My name is Jason Dempsey. I first deployed to Afghanistan in 2009, returned in 2012 and 13 as an advisor to the Afghan National Security Forces, and was last in Afghanistan in 2014 evaluating the advisory mission. My impression from the president's speech tonight was that what we heard was a recipe for endless war and a misplaced faith in the ability of the United States military to solve all of our national security problems. I didn't hear anything particularly new. We have failed for the last 8 years to stand up the Afghan National Security Forces to make them self-sustainable. The other disturbing thing I heard from tonight's speech was this idea that somehow doubling down on the fight was the only way to honor the American dead. And that's truly a disappointing or disturbing idea.
Retired Marine Gunnery Sergeant Leanne Pollard, who served in both Iraq and Afghanistan, said she doesn't have much faith in the commander-in-chief.
It seems like the only thing the president was committed to do was killing terrorists, and I don't think he's smart enough to understand that that tactic generally leads to creating more terrorists. And I don't have any faith in the people surrounding the president, specifically General Mattis, to think above a tactical level to actually implement a plan that would see success in Afghanistan. I spent two tours in Afghanistan, and our approach was always so disjointed and never seemed to comprehend the fact that there's no one way to win. In fact, there is no way to win there.
Call us with your reaction to the president's announcement at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet to us at The Takeaway.